Well, good morning. My name is Austin. I am one of the pastors here, and our mission and vision is to help people find and follow Jesus together, and that togetherness really matters for us. And so what we do in our service is we invite a time of connection where we invite you to go and grab some coffee. There's some donuts in the back. And as you go, we want you to get to know each other, and we help you do that by asking a question of you that you can share in case you are not that person that instantly has a question to ask. And so this morning, we want to ask you this question. Are you a New Year's resolution person, and what type, and have you already broken your New Year's resolution? We're going to spend the next 5 minutes, so get up, get to know somebody, and ask them this question. We'll see you back. It is good to be with you this morning. We are in the midst of a series called Reformed, and we understand that we are formed in a lot of ways, and we are deformed in a lot of ways. Often by culture, I'll even admit, like, there's some deformations. The way that we have been shaped by church over the last decades has done some hurt and disservice to us. And so really, we've talked about at the beginning of this year, being disciples of Jesus and being reformed into the way of Jesus. And so we're just trying to acknowledge the ways that we have been deformed and reformed. And so because really our goal as disciples is threefold, and we say this a lot, is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. These are the threefold, patterns and rhythms of our lives as disciples of Jesus. And so this morning, as we talk about, being with Jesus, becoming like him, and doing what he did, this morning we're talking about being reformed in the way of shame and guilt. And I don't know about you, but when I think about shame or guilt, and especially, I think about nothing more than the Hunger Games that happened in elementary school called physical education tests. If you don't know what that is, younger people, listen to all the laughs in the room. And thank the Lord that they have taken that away from you, because this is the moment where they weed out the weak from the strong. I was never described as tall and lean. I was described as short and stocky. And so when it came to the push-up test, I got that. But when it goes to crunches, that ain't happening. Right? The mile run, I'm in the last. But I am dangerous over short distances. But the thing that shamed me more than anything, and maybe you don't remember, but there was a physical test called the peg ladder. It is a piece of board that is on the wall, and you get two pegs, and you have to, with your upper body, pull yourself up in coordination by putting the pegs in the hole and then pulling up. But you know what the shameful thing was? If you weren't tall, you couldn't even reach the first peg. Who couldn't reach the first peg? So you know what they did? They brought a little stool. Don't laugh. I still have a stool in my house to get up to the top of the cabinets. But this was the moment that I was utterly shamed, because in most places when we would go out onto the soccer field or the games, I never was picked last. But I was always last. In physical education tests, I literally, for year upon year, every year, from first grade to sixth grade, hated this week because it was so shameful. But one of the things that I think is often in our culture is we deal with shame, and in life you can hear, we take it with us. I'm in my 40s, and I still remember what happened 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. But as disciples of Jesus, as we follow the way of Jesus, that we have to understand that shame and guilt has to be transformed into grace and redemption. This morning, as disciples, we need to deform our understanding around shame and guilt and reform it in the way of grace and redemption. So if you'll join me this morning, we are going to read in Hebrews chapter 9. So whether you have your Bible physically or digitally, we'd love to encourage you to open it up to Hebrews chapter 9 and to read with us. And so this is starting in verse 11. It says, "But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here. He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by the means of the blood of goats or calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctifying them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who though the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we come here, and as we talk about shame and guilt, we are, for some of us, are taken back to those moments. We might be uneasy, weary, on edge, on what is about to come from your word. The Spirit, you bring freedom, not shackling. You bring hope, not despair. So Holy Spirit, come, speak. Open our eyes to see you. Open our ears to hear what you have for us this morning. Open our heart to receive the good news that we might know you and love you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Friends, when I remember growing up, this idea that shame is something that happens to us. But for some of us, when we're young, we don't really recognize it early on, and we just operate in it. But then, like we said, it forms us. And one of the ways that it deforms us is that shame is often used as a weapon to isolate or control. And I would say that's even true about some experiences I had in church. I remember this one summer camp that I went to with my friends, and we sat through this moment of a leader of the church who really was passionate about us sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with our friends, reminding us certainly that if we don't share, that we are going to be participating in their road to hell. And I remember the way that it laid on for 7 days. And so that when I got on the bus to go back to school, my only thought was how my friends were going to hell. Not even the good news that I heard, the joy that comes with the gospel. And I remember sitting here thinking the only reason I want to share them is that I don't feel guilty or ashamed of my participation or my lack thereof in sharing the good news of the gospel. And we use shame, as I put this out there, we use shame in our lives all the time. And I'm saying these are the ways that I have used it or experienced it. That we use it in sports to motivate kids to do better. That if you are the worst, we shame you in order that you might get better. We use it in our parenting. I use it in my parenting to get my kids to behave a certain way so they don't embarrass me. So they don't disrespect me. We use shame as an easy, short-sighted way. Right? I remember growing up and saying that I was a twin. And so when I played with Barbies, I was too girly. Or when my sister would play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with me. Some of you don't know who that is. And that's a shameful thing. I'm just kidding. But she was a tomboy. We use it in places like a mental health. When people who are seeing counselors because the things that they've experienced in life are just so much that they need someone to help process. And the faith of the church says, you just need to go see that person because you don't have enough faith. You need to pray harder. You need to try more. Or in places of education where we get in places of like, you show up and you have class ranks. The schools that you're going to. Your GPA, your test scores. Like we use shame in a myriad of places in our church, but it should not be this way. And Paul talks about in Corinthians, he says this, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We, people of God, the we is people of God. We have renounced the secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. See, friends, it should not be this way. That we don't use shame as a short-sighted tool to manipulate to get what we want. Shame seeks to isolate you, to control you, to instead of pushing you towards Jesus and the cross, to push you away, to feeling alone, to feeling like who you are at the core is somehow unworthy, broken, that can never be fixed by no one. And so you should, instead of moving towards people, move away. Shame is the devil's greatest tool to remind us that we are separated from God and that we don't deserve the grace and the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. This is not only for us as followers and disciples of Jesus, but this is a word that is used for anybody that is seeking to know Jesus. People that see Jesus in you and me, they look at you and the devil is using shame as to say, they are better than you. You could never be good enough. And so putting us all in isolation, in shame, that we as human beings are unworthy, inadequate. We also need to talk a little bit about guilt and reform our understanding of what guilt does. That while shame is a weapon, often we feel like guilt can be something that is also weaponized. But one of the things that I've been thinking about over the last couple months, and I've been talking to a group of senior Pine Lake boys, and we talked about this, Sasani, that guilt is a tool bringing disciples back to the way of Jesus. And I want you to think for a second. You might be like, hold on, Austin. I don't know if I'm with you on this. And it might not settle well with you, but stay with me. I had a dream a couple weeks back that my wife had treated me unkindly. A dream. And so I don't know if you've ever done this, but I woke up mad, fuming. And it was this Friday, so it's my day off, and my wife is working from home. She works from home. And I get up, we get the kids out to school, and then all of a sudden, like Friday's my day where I catch up all of my chores and responsibilities before we Sabbath, before we rest. And I remember we had a pile of clothes sitting there, and my wife is working at the table because I'm at home. She's like, I just want to be near you. And I'm like, I love that, sweet. But today, it wasn't sweet. I was angry folding the clothes. Have you ever been like angry folding the clothes, and you're just like... And you're just sighing big. And she's like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, the question should be is, what is wrong with you? Do you know what you did? What do you mean? In my dream. And she looked at me with like, I don't know who you are. It's worse than walking up on the side of the bed. And I remember like, she just like got up, left and went back into the office. And she's like, I don't need to be around you. And in that moment, I'm still angry folding. I'm even maybe louder so she can hear me like, putting things on the coffee table. And in this moment, the Holy Spirit goes, what is wrong with you? Like, not just like, hey, bud, how's it going? No, he's like, what in the world is wrong with you? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, your wife does not deserve the way that you were treating her. And I was like, Lord, you know that dream. You see all things. Did you see what happened? Do you know what happened? And there's this moment of just like, I'm folding, and this slowly, this guilt is eating away at me. And it is not something that's eating away at me as like, I am feeling and moving towards shame. It is moving in towards the way that I'm having a conversation with the Holy Spirit, which is moving me as a tool back to the way of Jesus, to saying, I need to operate in grace. I need to be redeemed. I need to own my sin and the way that I have been treating her unfairly, and I need to move towards her. And so I did, and I told her in a very, like, I came, like, you know, shyly up, and I was like, hey, babe, I'm sorry. She's like, well, why were you so mad at me? I was like, well, see what happened was in my dream, and she's just like, oh, gosh. And I was like, I know, I'm shallow, I'm sorry. Like, but guilt had moved me towards the way of Jesus. And that my wife says, like, love keeps no records of wrongs. Not by what I did, not by choosing to fold clothes angry, nor does Jesus keep a record of your wrongs. In 1 John, it says this, Romans says this, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because though Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And he also condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That moment of living in the flesh and feeling guilty because I had been living in the flesh was a movement and a conversation with the Holy Spirit that was leading me towards righteousness, towards living in the Spirit, living in the way of Jesus. And that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you don't have to be shackled by sin, but you are free. You don't have to live by the flesh, by the sinfulness, but you get to live by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wasn't laying guilt on my conscience to condemn me. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Jesus wasn't using the Holy Spirit to manipulate me to feel guilty so that I would hide, but to bring me out into the light so that I might have a conversation with the Holy Spirit and then seek grace from him for the way that I have sinned and then seek redemption from the one who I have sinned against. That guilt for those who are in Christ Jesus is no longer a weapon, but a tool to have a conversation with Jesus, to have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Think about this, moments that you have felt guilty about the way you have been treating one another. The Holy Spirit comes and moves in you to have that conversation so that you move not towards condemnation, but towards righteousness, towards the right way of living. That we often have to reform the way that we think about guilt. As those who are in Christ Jesus, we are not condemned, but we are encouraged to live righteously, knowing that we are sinful. But we are moving towards the way of Jesus instead of from the way of Jesus. And as we talk about guilt, the great thing about guilt in the story and the people of Jesus, that guilt isn't something that stays with you. It's not something that continues to lay on you and lay on you and lay on you to where you feel like you have so much weight on you. Now it's too much to bear. I don't want to sin anymore. So to keep the guilt from happening, I'm going to sin less so that I don't have to carry more. But Jesus washes it away. It doesn't say that you have to continue to hold it on, to try to feel less guilty. Like, that's the thing, is like when we feel guilty, a lot of us try to say, like, I don't want to feel that anymore, so I'm just going to try to be perfect and try not to sin. How long is that going to last? Anybody? A couple minutes? An hour? Right? The moment I feel like you get next to somebody, oh man, it's coming, because we can't. Romans says, like, we can't in our own flesh do what the law requires, to be perfect, to be sinless, to not feel guilt. But because in Jesus there is no condemnation, that we can live by the Spirit, the guilt doesn't pile up, but it is washed away. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, and that those who found Jesus, you don't have to deal with the guilt, but once you have a conversation with the Holy Spirit, and then you move towards grace and redemption, it is taken off of you, washed away, it is removed as far as the east is from the west. The good news of Jesus Christ is that for those that are him, guilt isn't something that you walk with, but you are released from. It is a tool to bring us back to the way of Jesus, and that when we come back to Jesus, Jesus, who is always good, is never going to leave you with your guilt, but exchange it for grace so that you might walk in the right way. You carry it no more. You carry it no more. The good news found in 1 John, it says that if you confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What is our part in this? If we confess our sin, everything then happens through him. That he is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins. He will purify us. That if we respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we feel guilty about the way that we're living according to the flesh, and we move towards him, the good news of Jesus Christ is that you have been forgiven. You have been restored. You have been purified. You have been made clean because of the work of Jesus Christ in you. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He lived the life that you should have lived. Perfect. He died the sinner's death, the death that is shameful. That they put him on a cross to shame him, to say that this is the worst death, the worst punishment. These people are unworthy. Criminals. He was buried, died, and was risen from the grave so that you might have life. Free from shame. Free from guilt. Free from holding on for decades. Things that can be released and has been released by the blood of Jesus Christ as long as you come to him and say, God, I can't carry this anymore. And he says, I know you don't have to. You've been carrying it for far too long. And you have been standing and hiding for far too long. Come back. Sit with me. Let me pull back and take off the layers of shame and guilt that you have been standing with, walking with, holding on to. Let me free you so that you might receive grace, so that you might be redeemed, not by your own actions, but by the good news that Jesus does it for you. This is the good news, that we as people who have a culture that loves to use shame and guilt to cause us to be small, to be isolated, to continually sit in a cycle of owing and giving penance to people, even to one another in the church. But it's a community in the way of Jesus, that we be shaped not by guilt and shame, but more by grace and redemption, by the good news of Jesus Christ. That as we learn to be with him, we learn how to receive, to take off, to unshackle. As we learn to become like him, we reduce our uses of shame as a weapon and guilt as a weapon. And as we do what Jesus did, as we have received grace, we go and offer grace. We offer redemption and restoration to people who feel guilt and shame in the way that we have been treated or they have treated us. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. And my prayer is today, if you've never felt that, or for a long time that you have still been holding on to shame and guilt because you don't believe that Jesus is big enough or good enough to take it away from you, to wipe the slate clean and to allow you to live in freedom, today is the day to let it go, to lay it down, to receive the grace that you are no longer a slave. But you are a son and daughter of the Most High God. And as Paul says it, that you are no longer a sinner, but you are a saint. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, where in our lives are you speaking that we are still holding on to shame and guilt? Holy Spirit, what experience or circumstance that is still gripping us, that to the core we believe that we're unworthy of your love because of what we have done or what's happened to us. Holy Spirit, what are those moments? Holy Spirit, would you bring us to the throne of Jesus, to the arms of the Savior, so that we might be healed? Holy Spirit, keep speaking. Your people are not done yet. We are listening because you are our God. We are your people. Amen.